Node.js in a nutshell, it's fast, scalable, it's built for network application. It runs on Chrome's V8, but it's not scalable. Non-blocking, or really asynchronous here. Everything from the ground up is designed to be asynchronous. And it's event-driven. The whole process kicks off when something happens. So JavaScript for fast, scalable network applications. The fast part. Node.js runs within Chrome's V8 engine. Chrome's V8 engine is written in C. And Node.js, despite the .js in it, is actually written in C as well. That means the JavaScript that we write for Node.js is compiled, and the performance is on par with .NET code on the server. So Node.js is fast. Node.js as a server itself is also, there's very few components built into it. It's pretty much bare bone. Scalable. For our purposes, Node is single threaded, which means that when we have a multi-threaded, there's going to be a bunch of overhead with context switching involved. Node is single threaded, which means there's a lot, you can support a lot more connections because it's not spinning up the extra multi-threaded context switching. And then it's focused on networking. Of the few built-in modules, a lot of them are just focused, HTTP, DNS, NET, query string. All these are focused on networking. And of course, we write JavaScript for it. So JavaScript for fast, scalable network applications. The non-blocking I/O model. Sean Wildermuth came up with a great example in his Pluralsight course to illustrate this. So first we'll look at a blocking example. Think about when people line up at an ATM. Somebody lines up there, they're not going to leave the ATM until they're totally done with their transaction. They're going to put their card in, they're entering their PIN, figure out how much money they want, or worst case, they're only going to deposit a check. And they're not leaving there until they leave, until they get everything done. They block the person behind them. That person blocks the person behind them until you get to this guy at the end who looks pretty mad that he's at the end, and he might actually time out and leave. So that's a blocking example. Node works on this non-blocking aisle, which would be a coffee shop example. People walk into the coffee shop, they place their order, and then they step away, and they wait for their coffee to be done, and then they get called back to the counter to get their coffee. So they walk in, place their order, and they get called back. It keeps the incoming requests moving at a very fast pace. You walk in, you place your order, step over to the side, asynchronously, then you get called back. You say thank you, you're going to do something back to the barista because we're nice, we're .NET developers, and then you go on your day. Talk about event-driven then. We're going to extend the coffee shop metaphor a little bit further here. Ordering coffee is like an event. An event is going to kick off this whole process. We walk into the coffee shop, we order an event, and now we kick it off, we're in a loop. And then when we pick up the coffee, a call back. We pick it up. And then the whole coffee shop experience is like an event loop. So we walk in, order the coffee, step aside, other people can walk in and order their coffee, they're also stepping aside, they're waiting in the event loop per se. Once the coffee's finished, they get called back. Keep remember here, though, is when you do get called back to the counter, it's the same barista who took your money who's serving you the coffee because you're single threaded. So you don't want to start talking about the weather, asking how the brewers did last night. You do not want to block the event loop because we're single threaded. The same barista is handing your coffee. You start talking to him or her, you're blocking everybody else from coming in. All right, now that we have some theory behind us, when is a good case for using Node, and when is not a good case for it? You'll often hear people, when they talk about Node, talk about the real-time web. These are chat apps. You're typing in, where are you? I'm giving a talk. Someone else types back, oh, I'm in a different talk. So that's a chat app. Or a stock ticker. You can see stocks going up. You can sell, sell, sell. Stuff like that, where you see real-time information because Node has such an input and output. Things are coming in, it doesn't block the transactions, and you can get them out so quickly, the real-time web. I say the glue here. What I mean by that are REST-based servers or message queues that connect disparate systems. So, because again, it has a high input output, it's good for putting messages into a message queue and other on the other side grabbing them out and delivering them to clients. Streaming data such as file uploading. So are you getting the picture here? It's very good at I/O. So we can upload files, and because we're getting that fast I/O, it can give us the progress reports on how we're uploading the file. Like we have 10%, we have 20%, because it has that callback. What isn't it good for? Anything that's CPU intensive. Pixar's not going to be rendering their next movie with Node. Non-I/O. Along with that, anything that would be, you're not going to build like a WebForms UI back in a relational database either, because Node really is focused on the I/O and the fast work. And that we don't want to use it just because it's cool. I mean, Node.js is cool, it's very quick to get things going, but just because we have another tool in our belt and it's fun to use, we just don't want to be using it just because we know how to use it. So why Node.js for .NET developers? Because it teaches us to handle async. Node.js, right out of the get-go, is built with async in mind. Now granted, .NET has the async await and the TPL library, and it can do the same thing that Node.js does as far as the async and fast I/O, but most of our applications aren't built with that in mind from the get-go, whereas Node, you pretty much have to, or the whole thing falls apart on you. So it teaches us to handle async right away. That way, when we do go back to .NET, we have that design paradigm in our mind. JavaScript's won the web. It's winning a lot of places. It's winning in the mobile space with Cordova and such. So it behooves us to learn JavaScript. Especially, a lot of us already know JavaScript to begin with. We transition to on the server side, helped us on the client side. We have code reuse. Now we're getting resource reuse, if you will. Microsoft is treating Node as a first-class citizen. And if a vendor of the framework that I make my living off of, and I'm sure many of you make your livings off of, is treating Node as a first-class citizen, it really makes sense for us to pay attention to them. And there's a framework that we'll look at called Edge.js that allows us to invoke .NET code from Node. So we're able to keep our existing investments that we have in .NET. And there's a great community building Node modules. So we're going to be able to hit the ground running, or hit the water swimming, if you will, and we're not going to have to start from scratch. And we'll be able to give our clients or our bosses more choice. When we go into a meeting and we're called upon to do something, we can say, well, we have to upload tons of files. Well, Node's a great choice for creating a lot of I/O. All right. Now that we have some theory and some context behind us, let's wade in a little bit deeper to the wall. Download the installer packet and our package and just double click and away we go. Done it a million times before. Or we can do Chocolatey. But it's essentially NuGet for applications. And there's tons of applications that are maintained in Chocolatey like this, Python or Ruby or anything like that. So it's a great just a package manager that you can use to install all sorts of applications. So once you get Node installed, there's going to be this NPM that comes along with it. And what NPM is, it's a package manager. So essentially, it's NuGet for JavaScript, more or less. And so, as of when I did this slide, there were over 170,000 different modules. If we're thinking about running something from scratch, we should just look at NPM first. Odds are that there's going to be something out there for it. So some handy modules from the .NET developer. You'll see that Express is used everywhere in Node applications. It's essentially a middleware. And the reason why it's used everywhere is that it's unopinionated, meaning that you can pretty much bend it at will. If you're going to compare it to something in the .NET world, it's going to be pretty much with MVC, ASP.NET MVC. It has routing, you do templating with it, etc. There is Restify, which is a bare-bones REST service, kind of like Web API. Edge, as I mentioned before, you can call .NET functions from Node, and also Node functions from .NET. There's NodeSQL Server, which is with Microsoft's driver to access SQL Server from Node.js. And then Azure has tons of support for Node. You can not only access many of Azure's services, but you also can manage Azure through Node as well. And then there's Node Tools for Visual Studio. We have Node, we have a bunch of packages, how are we going to actually write code? Well, go to Visual Studio. Actually, if you just go to visualstudio.com or just Google Node Tools, you'll find this link. And so install it, and what does it give you? a bunch of project templates so we can actually start installing or developing with Node without having to spin up our own templates. IntelliSense, lots of IntelliSense, so we don't actually have to look up in the documentation and guess at what the code is doing. Debugging, breakpoints, variable inspections. Profiling, we can performance tune our Node applications with Node tools. Gives us a REPL, so you can actually write like a little mini program without having to write the huge one, and just kind of evaluate it in essentially an intermediate window that's constantly running, so you don't actually have to hit the debug button and actually run the application. Gives us the ability to write unit tests and run them. It also has a GUI for NPM. So NPM by default console application, this gives us a nice GUI. And it's available for Visual Studio 2012 and up. So, all right, we're gonna jump in. Look, Mom, I can swim. So what I wanna do here is walk through both what Node tools for Visual Studio can give us, and then show off what a Node application is gonna look like when you get it started, the general directory structure, etc. So once you install Node tools, underneath the JavaScript, you will see that there's going to be a Node.js node, if you will. There's also going to be one underneath TypeScript if you don't feel like living on the wild side and have hard type code. But we'll do JavaScript. And then underneath that, there's going to be several different templates we can import from existing Node code, create just a blank application, or we can go all the way down where it gives us the ability to create a bootstrapped application just like MVC does. So we'll just create a blank Node web app, and we'll call it Mom. Let's spin up. HTTP create server with that function being passed in is equivalent, just a briefer way to say server.onRequest to do the function. So the server.onRequest saying, that's you going up to order the coffee, the function is the callback saying, all right, here's your coffee, it's ready. So we're starting up the event loop right there. Then when our callback comes, we have to do something then to push it back out to the client. Doing plain text is not going to get across our enthusiasm of being able to swim. So we have to H1 it. Let's try running this guy. The debugger window here is just starting Node in the background and just attaching. So we have LookMom. Great, we have our first hello world. That doesn't look quite right, so we have to debug it. It's just not, something's not there. We forgot to tell Mom we can swim. So we'll set the debugging, refresh it, and we see we hit the breakpoint already. So Node tools for Visual Studio gives you the ability to go and inspect your variables. You have the locals windows down here as well. Do the same thing, and you actually have the ability to hit the immediate window in addition. And this is what I like, is that we're still on our breakpoint, we're still live on it, but we can actually change the code right away, similar to what we would do with when we're debugging on the client side. This is a server-side application, so it's, I found it very interesting. And then, look, Mom, I can swim. There you go. It's very simple and straightforward to get that set up. So, NPM is a first class, or the package manager, and Node tools or Visual Studio gives us a GUI for it. So, Mom said, that's great that you could swim, but I want a JSON package because I'm running a single page application. I just want to query to see where you're at. So, we're going to do Restify to give her a JSON bag, and we're going to see how easy it is to spin up a REST-based server. So all we did was look for a Restify,
quick install package, and then now we have it in here. But this shows us all the dependencies and the code itself that's built into Node modules that our Node app depends on. So we see we depend on Restify. Restify, in turn, has a Node modules, which shows all the things that it depends on, which is quite a few. It depends on Backify. Backify itself has a Node modules it depends on. So it goes down and down and down and down, which can get quite overwhelming very quickly. So there's this other thing called package.json, which takes care of running the Node application. It's kind of like a web config, if you will. And so what it has down here is the dependencies, and it says, I'm depending on Restify. So then when we start up the Node application, we do an npm start. And then npm start looks for a package.json, sees this guy. It knows I'm going to run server.js, or that's my main thing. It also sees, all right, I have dependencies in here. It depends on Restify. It goes out, grabs Restify, grabs all the dependencies that Restify depends on, and pops them for us. So it just, by having this dependencies in here, we don't have to worry about deploying everything for us. So that's pretty nice. All right, so let's spin up our REST-based server real quick. Restify equals require. And you'll see that Node tools pulled in that we didn't download Restify already. And it knows what we can do with it. And then finally we'll do server.git. And we're going to pass in the route that we wanted to respond on the for the git function. Request, response, next. Now you might be wondering, the git function itself, you have to know and look up in the documentation. And here's another thing that Visual Studio Tool or Node Tools gives us. You can go up to the npm here, right click, and then open documentation, and it brings you to the documentation on that Restify provides, so you can look everything up, which is kind of nice. So all we're going to do now is send the response.send. I am here. It's going to send us an error message because we didn't send anything for the root port. That's the thing I have to tell you. Welcome to the Crocodile Cove. And then whenever mom queries where we are, she'll see that we are here no matter where we are. Because now we can swim and go wherever we want. Penguin card, here we are. So with just, is that 4 or 5 lines of code, we created a REST-based server with Node very quickly, very easily, thanks to NPM. All right, first demo done. Now we're going off into the more uncharted waters, into the blue with Azure, and then off the ledge with Edge. We're going to explore some of Azure's Node.js functionality, and looking at deploying apps in Azure, and then Edge.js, invoking .NET code from Node.js. So what can Azure do with Node.js? Well, the big thing you can do is host Node.js applications, and it's super, super simple to do so. Azure Mobile Services, both on the table-based side and on the web API side, can do Node.js apps. Cloud services, and of course, virtual machines can do it. And actually, it's easier to do Node.js in like the web apps or Azure Mobile Services than it is in virtual machines, because obviously in virtual machines, you're taking care of everything. And it also includes, and I was surprised by this because the old Microsoft is closed, but the new Microsoft is cool. You can do, it does the npm modules itself. So when it gets that package, that JSON file, it's going to respect your dependencies, and that's going to go and look for everything that you want that's in that dependencies. It's going to bring them in, and it's going to run them. So it's going to just find them and bring them in for you. You don't have to do anything. You don't even have to tell Azure you're running a Node website. It sees packages.json and it assumes that you're going with it. So, you also, if you remember from before, there's a web couple projects that say Azure-based. There's a couple web config files that you can say this really is Azure. But if you have nothing but that packages.json file, it's just going to run with it. Know that you're known. So let's do a little quick, where are we swimming in Azure? We're all swimming, want to be able to tell our friends where we're swimming so we can have some fun here. So, close this one down and open the next one up. And we're going to show up a little bit more of a complex node app so we can see how it's set up as well. So this is an Express-based node app. So we have the Express, we have a J template engine, and we're also going to be using something called socket.io, which does it's the real-time web. This is what enables like chat apps to work. So first off, we'll take a peek here at the app.js. And app.js here is our main start-off point or jump-off point. We're requiring Express. This routes is just another file we have within our routes directory. And HTTP and path are node baked in modules. And all we're doing here is setting up Express itself. And this is all built in into the template when it comes out of the box for you. And then here we're setting up a couple routes manually. So we're saying the home route should map to routes.where, and then the WAG map route should open up as here I am, where we're rendering these J templates. And if you guys have never seen J before, it's actually kind of wild. Here's one. It's really easy to write just because it's so terse. So, it's just an aside. What I really wanted to talk about here was socket.io. So up at top here, so socket.io is another NPM module that we downloaded, which implements WebSockets. And it falls back gracefully if your web browser doesn't implement WebSockets. So we're requiring socket.io, and we're passing it to the server, which happens to be the HTTP create server, which happens to get the Express module itself. So we're listening for the connection. We're saying, all right, connection, when you happen, call this callback function. And so we're not going to block it. We're just going to say, all right, quickly log out to the console that you just connected. And then we're going to say, all right, start listening for the disconnect on a callback. Again, not blocking the event. And then we're going to start listening for this here I am, not blocking the event loop. And then we're going to actually say socket broadcast emit here I am to everybody. So we have this nested event loops within each other, and we're not blocking anybody from anybody else. And that's the whole point of Node. So socket.io also comes with built-in a client-side JavaScript library, so we don't have to do a lot of coding ourselves. So to emit events, all we do is, I have the, you know, kind of like a master file requiring socket.io and just essentially newing up socket, and then on a button click, just emitting here I am and where the value of a text box. And then on the client side, also listening to here I am, and then just using some jQuery to populate it. So I already deployed this guy up into Azure, just using git deploy. It's on a continuous deployment cycle. And I'm going to fire it up on the iPad. And so it goes a blank Azure website itself, and then just pops up. And now it's all the code that we needed to do to kind of do a quick, essentially chat app so people can find out where we're off swimming at. So, again, Andrew didn't need to know anything. That was Node. It just took it, downloaded all the dependencies for us, and went off and we're running. All right. Edge.js. This allows us to invoke .NET code from Node.js code and vice versa, which is really something. It actually marshals the, underneath the covers, no one has actually written C, so they actually marshaled it over to the .NET CLI. So it's pretty cool. I mean, when you think about it, just when you think that you're getting smart and see somebody actually does this, it's like, it's out the window. So what it lets you do is you can inline C sharp within the actual JavaScript code. You can, if you know how to, you want to write something with C sharp itself, you can just, it allows you to do it. So you can actually write C sharp within JavaScript. You just have to be limited and say, this is my C sharp. So this is kind of how it, the function signatures are going to look. In .NET, what we have, we're going to have a asynchronous function. The input is going to be an object, we're dealing with JavaScript. And we're going to return a synchronous task of an object. So input's an object, output's an object, and we're going to be asynchronous inside because we don't want to block the event. When we map that over into Node, we're first going to create an edge function itself. So we pass in the table, it's saying the stuff we want to pass into the .NET function. And then in our callback, we're going to get an error result if something comes back as an error. That's something that Edge.js is going to put in there for us. And then we get our result back, which is maps up the yellow result that we returned from .NET itself. So let's see this guy in action. All right, so what we have here is the exact same solution as before. All we want to do is, we want to find out how deep each of these pools are, and we already have something written in C-sharp that we can do it with. So why can't we redo it in JavaScript? So in order to invoke Edge with a C-sharp file, there's a couple of steps that we have to massage it with. Our class has to be named Startup. And then the function that we want to invoke has to have the signature. So all we're doing here is just seeing the dictionary and obtain the key. If it does, return what it is, avoid return 150. So install npm package edge. Socket on, that's where we want to do the actual computations. And I'm going to save you guys from actually having to watch me type because I will probably need some typos in here. Alright. So in this, here I am, event loop, what we're seeing is that we're going to take an edge function, we're going to have edge create a JavaScript function for us. And all we're saying here is we're trying to find a path where definer CS is. And then we assign it to this definer function. Once we get to definer, we're passing it in our message that we get from here I am event. And in our callback, we're getting an error, or the error if we would get one, and then a response. All we do then is massage the message itself, and then we broadcast it out to any clients that are listening to us. So now we're able to actually get our C-sharp file from Node itself. So we'll fire this one up locally. Went in, and said we hit 50 feet. First time I saw this word, I thought it was pretty astounding. When I just set the breakpoint, when I watch it come through. So we have it, our messages, we would port the breakpoint within our callback, our response being 5 feet now, and when we broadcast it out, we get 5 feet. We cannot debug into the C sharp code now, unfortunately. So that's one downside. I guess it makes sense when you think about it, but it is what it is. But it's still pretty cool that you can actually be using your investments that way. All right, so where would we go from here?
Find out what we can do with NPM, and you know, it makes things really quick. And you'll be surprised how quickly you can get things up. Once we find out what we can do and get a little bit comfortable and we start wanting to use it at work, Node.js can be the glue between disparate systems that we have, can be the REST server, we can implement a message queue in. We also can spin it up as a microservice. So we have this huge monolithic application. We can have Node.js and we just want to have a little file system uploader. Node.js can be it. So it doesn't mean you'll need to modify this huge application just to upload files. And since Node.js can invoke .NET, the cell for it is a lot easier. So toweling off, to summarize where we're at, Node.js is a fast, non-blocking, event-driven server. It has full first-class support in Visual Studio, full first-class support in Azure, and Edge.js gives us .NET code reuse itself. Feel free to reach out to me anywhere here.